Sarah, what the f***?
I just shoved a burrito in my face.
You gotta f- eat the burrito on the pod. I can't be the only masticator on the pod.
I just finished a burrito too. I'm sorry.
Well, now I have to go and get a burrito.
This is now a burrito podcast.
I f***ing love burritos.
I signed up for the right role here.
Hello and welcome to Unsalvageable, a jazz podcast with me, Sarah Todd, jazz beat reporter for the Deseret News, and as always, my co-host, Greg Foster. Still, hi. Both of us on no one's network.
Independence.
All my ladies making money, throw your hands up at me.
I miss Destiny's Child. They were great.
Amen. Also with us, as always, our producer, Matthew. Can I call you Matthew?
Yeah, that's fine.
Matthew.
We've crossed Matt the threshold. Hugh.
Matthew Nanez.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Hello.
Great.
Hello, everyone.
I'm doing a really good job so far. This is how we start podcasts, right? It's good that I'm not hungry right now because I'd be a lot more grumpy, but I did eat something, so we're good. Hey guys, did you know that your favorite basketball team wears different colors now?
What?
excuse me, I didn't realize we were recording.
Yeah,
weird that I'm the only one that didn't have a burrito for lunch.
That's true.
Yeah,
black,
perfect.
Black, yellow, and white, and purple.
And purple.
Right.
Which to me feels like a consolation prize where like when these, I mean, all of his uniforms were leaked in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like when they actually unveiled them, it wasn't, A, it wasn't a surprise, but B, it was a little, it's funny because they got flamed when they did. And then, you know, it kind of seemed like they were like, oh, we got to do something. Everyone's mad at us. Purple. We're bringing them back. And it like, I don't understand it is what it boils down to. And I feel like I'll get on my soapbox and be a little preachy here. And you know what? I'll toot my own horn because I've spent a lot of my professional life doing rebrands. In fact, I used to work with Matt, and that's what we did. And I have quite a bit of experience. I've won a few awards for some rebounds
award
that I've
winner,
done.
Greg Foster.
Yeah. So I feel like I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And usually when you want to do a rebrand is an identity. It is the DNA of your company, your organization, or your team. And that is supposed to tell some sort of story. And it is a way to tip the cap to the history and the story of the team while blazing a new trail forward. And everything is supposed to be distinct and meaningful and have, you know, and create that identity, like I said. And I don't get that at all. Not a single bit. A, I have no idea who this audience is for. And B, what's the story? And how does this tie into the organization at all? Because it really just seems like a jumbled mess. And there is no identity. I came out of that presentation and seeing the rebrand and the hype video more confused than after I watched it. What is the identity of this team moving forward?
I just want to, I mean, I have no like really strong feelings, but I just want to play devil's advocate. What was the identity of the team before? Wasn't that an argument before that the team had no identity, that the color palette was all over the place?
Yes, I do agree with that. Yeah, I do. But again, like it just seems completely divorced from the history. I mean, you go back and like it's and not only that, but like there seems to be such dissonance between jazz and this new color palette, especially the highlighter yellow. Jazz is emotional. It's free flowing. It's an original art form. And this is like, it's, you know, Miles Davis and improvisation and like the true American art form and true American music that was born from New Orleans, where this team originated. And there's nothing. And like this rebrand, it's bland, it's stale, it's uninspired. It looks like 8-bit MS-DOS bull.
A couple of things, I guess, like the required of me to probably say what Ryan said to me today about, he pushed back about purple being an afterthought. People can do with that what they want, okay? He also mentioned that there were going to be like 4 more purple jerseys released over the next 36 months, something like that. So
super.
I think it's also important to say that probably like the most forward thinking thing and like sort of enlightening thing that I heard from Ryan today was when he said, you know what? People think that they look too simplistic, boring. Maybe we went too clean. All right. Note taken. Like, I can take that note moving forward.
You're taking
like,
that note now? Did you not get any sort of market research before you unveiled it? They were getting flamed. Ryan, I know you're online. I know that your branding team is online and is listening to feedback. So don't tell me you're taking...
He said
don't
he doesn't know what the name of my podcast is.
Which, well, fine, cool, congrats. I don't care. Like, he's not going to listen to it anyway. But, like... You got to do your market research, guy. And you can't just be like, you can't, I understand taking feedback after the fact, but that's also something that should be taken. That's the kind of stuff that you should be getting during the research process of the rebrand. That's step number one.
It makes me wonder if there are too many yes people in his circle.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Maybe the people that he was asking, does this look good? Were just like, yeah, man, looks great. Looks so cool.
That seems highly likely. You know, if we were in Vegas and that was an odd, I'd put at least $100 on that outcome. And that's like part of being a creative and part of being a you know, somebody in branding is standing up and pushing back. And you know, it's not about the individual, it's about the organization. It's about the bigger picture.
If we learned anything from Adam Sandler and Juancho Hernan Gomez, it's never back down.
Never back down. And that's what we got. We got a bunch of back downers. And now we got bad uniforms. They're bad.
I mean, from just my personal taste, I think... two things, like one, as a person that has no historical ties, fandom, etc., with the Utah Jazz franchise, that like I don't mind the colors, actually. Like, if I'm being completely honest, like I kind of like the yellow. And but as a Jazz fan, I can put myself in those shoes and look at those colors and be like, yeah, I don't get it. And I hate it. Like, I understand where that reaction is coming from. And so I completely understand the Jazz pushback. I think that the white ones are the worst part of it. I think that those
terrible.
Most bleh. Like, and I, those are such a blah jersey.
And I think it's very, I think there's something to it. Like, it's pretty damning that we get 3 new uniforms and like the big hype is purple is back.
Yeah, that was, it was weird to do it like, that way.
There was like, if you're going to do that, you got to position it as bold new direction. This is not your grandpa's Utah Jazz. We're moving into the future. But right. No, it's like they try. It's almost like the new branding was an afterthought, and like as a way to like pander to the fans and not be like, don't get mad at me for these uniforms. Here's purple.
It was weird also that there was no like launch event, right?
No, it seems like it's almost like apologetic in its rollout, which seems like. You released a half-baked idea that only a few people liked.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I fully expected for there to be like an event where like I could go to it and report and take a photographer with me. And it was a press
release. At the very least, right?
Yeah, it was a press release and a video with Jordan Clarkson.
Man, yeah, like just absolute bungling. If I do say so myself.
I mean, I will say Jordan Clarkson looks great and everything.
Yeah, sure. When you have the most fashionable player in the league on your team and a certified handsome boy, he's going to look great in anything.
Prophet, seer, and revelator of the Church of Jordan Clarkson of Latter-day Buckets.
Yes. But I'm sorry, like traded and cashed in from Riverton are going to look like dog shit.
Trading is my favorite. Shout out to all the tradings out there.
It's almost trading season, baby.
I think I was in the team store today and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go in open mind and just kind of look at stuff and see how I feel about it. And yeah, like the yellow is going to wash out every white person that tries to put it on.
It's not going to look good.
That's just what bright yellow does, okay? And I still think as I was looking at it in the team store, like full size on a mannequin, the white jersey, I was like, no, thank you. I did like the black and yellow like merch that they had in the team store. And they had some cool purple stuff that was like, they had a lot of light purple stuff too, which I was like, oh, that's actually nice. Like a lot
like
of
like lavender.
Yeah, it was like a lavender. Mm. I was like, oh, that's nice. It was really, I mean, if I was a Jazz fan, I would absolutely wear a lavender shirt.
I have a lavender shirt and I love it.
Yeah. Lavender's a great color. Lavender's a great smell. I spray that shit on my pillow every night.
I do love a good, like, I do like a good lavender smell. I like a good lavender tea.
You know what? The Jazz team store smells nice. It smells brand new.
Awesome. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, what's up, Matt?
So the thing about like the yellow, right? And having Jaden and Cashton from Riverton wearing it. So I kind of had an epiphany. I need a couple days of sleep on this kind of stuff sometimes. And I was looking through the Jazz store online, right? Cause I want to check out whatever merch they've got, you know, cause I don't, like you were saying, Sarah, like I don't mind the black and yellow, the purple stuff. Yeah, cool. You know, but I was just checking to see. And on one of the models for one of the yellow shirt or whatever, I was like, I kind of had an epiphany cause he's like early 20s. I'm like, you know what? I think the younger generation like does not care about this rebrand and they will buy the yellow because they're not like stuck to it like me and Greg are, right? Yeah. And yeah. So I think we are going to see Jackson and Traden from Riverton wearing a bunch of that yellow come the new season when Tim Ball comes, you're gonna see that, I think.
And
especially bright colors and stuff.
Importantly, so. Jackson is spelled JAXSHAWN.
Exactly. That's
with
exactly
an E at the end that's silent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
if that's the point of the rebrand is to get a bunch of 14-year-olds to buy merchandise, then well done. You're probably gonna do great.
Sure.
You know, and if there's one thing as a 37-year-old dad with a lot of like, you know, stock in this team, it's I guess my consolation would be I'm pretty sure auto pedestrian accidents by the arena are going to go down quite a lot with the crossing guard
safety
ass
first.
Merchandise.
Right. Safety first, which I think is an important message.
I will say this as just as one last final closing argument. I understand like the bold new direction, you know, we talked about that but I do want to tie in back with the history. And like one thing that you always have to consider, especially with a legacy brand, one that's been around, one with millions of fans, is the brand equity. And that's gone. And it didn't seem like a total afterthought that this is an international brand with fans ranging from the Philippines to Russia to Australia to all across the world. And all of that's gone now.
Yeah. That's a good point Matt brings up. You've got the note, which jazz higher-ups will be very quick to tell you, like, people love the note.
Yeah, so, which, great. Great. Which, but it also, you know, and like one of the big problems I see with branding and problems that I've run into in my career before is when you try to Frankenstein something, when you want to like have some of the, you know, you want to do an homage to the past while also like, you know, blazing the trail into the future. And usually you have to pick a singular direction so that it makes sense. And so many times brands and organizations don't do that, and they try to Frankenstein it, and you get this like awful mishmash, which is exactly right. What we got with this new rebrand. And
right.
I'm sorry, it's a mess, and I absolutely hate it for the litany of reasons that I have just ranted about. Namaste, I feel better.
All fair, all points well taken. Also happening in the Jazz universe, head coaching search is still underway. Second round of interviews have begun.
Pools. I do have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think Quinn saw the uniforms and was like, nah, f***ing, I'm done?
No, I think that if Quinn saw the uniforms.
That was the final straw?
I think that if Quinn saw the uniforms and then they tried to give him a $9 million check, I think he would have been like, yeah, wear yellow. Yellow looks great on everyone. So definitely something else that he couldn't move forward from. The head coaching search, I feel like there's been some, like, I don't know, I guess like Twitter rumors that the pool has been narrowed down to four. And from everything that I am hearing from within the organization, that seems wildly inaccurate.
Interesting.
I think that the coaching pool is still large and that we're still probably a few weeks away from a hire.
Well, I mean, it was reported today that they had round two of interviews with 15 candidates, which seems like a gigantic pool for round two.
I don't know, though, because I think that, like, you know, when you're narrowing it down, I think that this like round two of interviews, like a lot of this is still being done like virtually. And sure. I think that when you start bringing guys in, right, that's when we're down to like four.
Yeah.
And so when guys start flying in, spending a few days with the team, spending a whole afternoon talking about what his vision is, meeting players, stuff like that. I mean, that's when we're down to like a narrowed down pool. And so like second round of interviews doesn't really seem too substantial to me, actually.
Yeah. You know, and they, you know, it's been reported that they're going to take their time and they want to make sure that they get it right. So I can actually appreciate them being thorough and considering every option. It's a nice departure from the rebrand.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with them making team decisions prior to a coaching hire. I don't have any problem with that. Like, I don't think that a coach needs to be in place. And so, like, if they start making trades, they go through the draft, all of that stuff without a coach, mazel. Like, I don't see a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not.
I think there's a lot of people that are
about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are worried. Like, oh, we need to get a coach in place. And it's like, yeah, before training camp.
I will say this, though. Do you think a lack of a coach affects any of the ostensible offseason moves we might see this summer?
I don't think so, because, I mean, lack of a coach might affect free agency, but the Jazz don't have any money, so
right.
That doesn't matter. Like, they're going to be trading people. That's how they're going to bring people in. And so that's not going to affect that anyways. I guess that maybe if you had a coach that was like Pop, who like people would want to talk to, right?
Right.
But I think for the most part, like the front office is the guys that are, they're swaying people. It's Danny and it's Justin. And it feels like it's mostly Danny at this point.
Sick.
I think.
Do you think he's going to wear Celtics gear when he's interviewing a coach?
Almost certainly.
Sick. I'm so excited.
I think that if not having a coach does affect anything about off-season moves, that it maybe gives the front office more latitude in what they can do. Because since you don't have someone in place that has a vision and a direction and a scheme and a culture, right?
Uh-huh.
Then, like, they can do whatever they want. There's, you know, all of that is put to the side. And if you're bringing in a guy who is, like, if the coach that you're hiring is agreeing to coming into whatever situation you build, then you're allowed to build whatever situation you want. So if anything, I think it gives the front office maybe more room to operate.
Yep. I think that's totally fair.
Upcoming is the draft. We don't know if the Jazz will make a move. That's on Thursday night. Free agency opens up on June 30th, I believe. And so things are really going to start picking up, and they're going to pick up quick. You guys are probably going to have to record without me after the draft. I'm going to Amsterdam.
Hell yes, you are.
Yeah, going to Amsterdam is going to be pretty dope.
That's a flex.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good flex.
The even bigger flex is that I don't have to pay for the hotel because Colin's at a nerd conference.
Are so you going to put mayonnaise on your french fries?
I'll do whatever they want me to do.
Will you eat herring?
I'm allergic to fish.
Okay, you got out of that one. Herring's disgusting. But
if I go to Amsterdam, can I just say I'm allergic to mayonnaise?
No, you can't do that.
Yes. No. Yeah, you can. When I lived in Scandinavia, I would put mayonnaise on my open-faced sandwiches on my smørrebrød all the time.
Actually, mayonnaise is the only thing that makes herring palatable, like, at all. And, like, pickles. That's it. That's all
mayonnaise
you can do.
Is gross.
All right. Well, you guys heard it here. Mayonnaise is gross. And
which I'm really excited for the mayo ass jerseys. That's how we tie it in to the podcast.
And that's what we call. Oh, wait. What's the word? Call. That's what we call a callback.
There we go.
You guys know what to do. Rate, review, subscribe, download. Remember that we are on a new feed. Tell all of your friends, your family, your enemies, your coworkers. Write it on bathroom stalls. Send it in the mail to someone to search out the name of the podcast. Greg has something to say.
Yeah, I just learned about this feature in Zencastr. It's great. I do want to reiterate again that we are 100%... independent, and we want nothing more than to keep it that way. And our entire focus is, yes, we have an audience, yes, we have a platform, but we want to make sure that we're uplifting people in our community and businesses in our community that you Absolutely. Know could use that we believe in. So our DMs are open if you would like to possibly place some advertisements with us. If you want to donate to the show, there is a support link on our Anchor FM website. You can kick a couple bucks a month, which is super appreciated and helps us keep the show the way that it is. And we want to be able to do things our way, and that's how you can help make that happen. So
absolutely. Again, if you like Greg said, if you have a small business in Utah, in anywhere, if you've got a business and we agree with what you're doing and you're doing good for people, we want to promote that. And so, like, come advertise with us. We want to promote good people doing good things and doing good for the community, because that's what we want to do also. And so the watch this space energy could be for you too.
and also, I want to say as well that we are very affordable too, and that's on purpose. So get slide into our DMs for sure.
Our ad placements are incredibly affordable. You will love the incredible low, low price that we're willing to give you in absolute secrecy. Rate, review, subscribe, DM us. All right. You can follow me at NBA Sarah. You can follow Greg at Dad Sham Dad. Matt, tell the people how they can find you.
Swans of Never, which is, I'm going to remind Sarah that it's a Smashing Pumpkins reference. So
I set him up just so I could tear him one more time.
Tonight.
It's okay.
Matt, how bad do you wish that you were born in 1979?
How much? Do you know what? That would be cool. That would be a small flex, you know? He wrote that song about me. But no, that's fine. That's okay. I can live.
That's not a band. That's a hobby for a 12-year-old after Halloween. Love you, folks. Good night. This has been Unsalvageable, and we will talk to you next time.
Jordan Clarkson is always handsome.